talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And as always, I strongly encourage everybody to download the Devil Radio app. Apple, Google, our website, carry Devil Radio with you 24/7, your favorite shows wherever you go. A lot more to get back to in the second hour. Chuck Schumer, the majority leader of the Democrats in the Senate, he is going to trigger budget reconciliation, the budget reconciliation process, to start debate on the infrastructure bill. And he looks like he's going to do it on Monday and do it very quickly. Now, this is a very big deal. Why is it a big deal? Joe Biden proposed an infrastructure bill. And the idea was we will negotiate with the Republicans, make it bipartisan, give up a few things. Biden indicated he reduced the cost of his bill to about $1.7 trillion from $2.2 trillion. We've already gone through all of the amounts that are going to be allocated to roads, the maintenance and construction of new roads, bridges, airports, ports, very hard projects, shovel-ready projects, good high-paying union jobs around the country, and also money for education and a lot of other things. And it's the kind of bill, it's a once-in-a-generation, a several-generation bill that'll modernize this country. Remember, as Dwight Eisenhower back in the late 50s, who put through the Interstate Highway Program, very expensive. People grumbled about that. But if he had not done that, I got news for you. Before the interstate highways were built, if you wanted to drive from Milwaukee to Los Angeles, you had been driving on two-lane roads, and it would have taken you a heck of a long time. Take a lot for granted. And we've got to update our infrastructure. The Republicans have pretended to negotiate. They appointed Shelley Moore Caputo, senator from West Virginia, the other one being Joe Manchin, to negotiate and say soft words and, you know, batter eyes and all this. And it turned out nothing. They came back with something like in the $500 or $600 billion range, and much of it just reallocating funds from COVID relief. I mean, in other words, nothing. It wasn't even good faith. Then they came up a little bit. But the problem was, and the problem is, they did this back in 2009 and 10. Barack Obama came in. The economy was in a shambles. Investment banks going bankrupt. It looked like the auto industry would go bankrupt. Everybody thrown out of work. And Barack Obama and his vice president, Joe Biden, put through a package that was going to rescue our banking system and rescue our insurance system and rescue our big automakers. Republicans said that it was socialism, it was wrong. Then they pretended to negotiate. And Obama caved in on a lot of things. And when it came to a vote, not a single Republican voted for it. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They will not vote for it. They won't get a single vote. So Shelley Moore Caputo was a stalking horse. She was a stalking horse. And Chuck Schumer has finally seen through this, and he's saying, you know, we're not putting up with that this time. So we're going to trigger budget reconciliation. That does not permit a filibuster. It only requires 51 votes. We have 50 votes in the Senate. And then Kamala Harris comes in and casts the 51st as basically the head of the Senate. When there's a tie vote, she can vote. And so it goes through, right? Not necessarily. Because do we have 50 senators or do we have 49 and a half senators? I'm talking about Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin has already said he's not going to support the voting rights bill, although he came around a little on that yesterday, and we're going to get into that later in the show. But on this one, I mean, there's no state in the country except maybe Mississippi that will benefit from this infrastructure bill as much as West Virginia. West Virginia ain't rolling in dough. They're very good people. They ain't rolling in dough. I've had relatives in Kentucky, and part of Kentucky is like West Virginia. What is he thinking of? He was the one that demanded that Biden reduce the unemployment comp extension, extra benefits from $600 to $300 a week. What does he what do you think people in West Virginia don't need the extra $300? Of all citizens, they need it the most. Why is he doing this? Some people have pointed out that suddenly he has started to get Chamber of Commerce contributions for the first time in 10 years. I'd like to think that he's not playing footsie with them. I'd like to think he's not playing fast and loose. But Schumer has his work cut out for him. He'll trigger budget reconciliation. The Republicans will howl. They'll howl. But Schumer, he remembers 2008 and 9 and 10. He was in the Senate back then. Not going to put up with it. But his real negotiating obstacle will be with the half a vote that we have in Joe Manchin. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
A couple things. Real quick on the interstate highway, too. I think some of it was kind of pushed by people like Eisenhower and other generals seeing the Autobahn. And actually, it was fueled somewhat by the Cold War. In the event we'd ever have to mobilize and move people and move things fast. But I saw an alarming poll this morning that 19% of Republicans have a higher opinion of Vladimir Putin than our president. And I know this sounds 60-ish, but you know what? Why don't you go there and see how it works out for you? And that would maybe reduce this polarization we have. I can't even believe something like that. Somebody on the panel said, you know, that used to be called un-American. Are you kidding me? You really think that their form of government and the way they operate is a better thing, and that he's a better leader than our president? I just don't get it.
Right. Well, let me tell you a couple of background things on that. And that is shocking that really one in five Republicans have a higher opinion of Vladimir Putin than they do, say, of Joe Biden or any American president. There was a poll, and this is back when Tony Blair was the prime minister of Britain. Now, he was a very good prime minister. He's the one that really worked hand in glove with Clinton to push through the Irish peace accords in the Middle East, what peace accord they could. He was an enlightened prime minister and a very good guy. But they did a poll back when Obama was first elected president, and they said, which leader is more American? Okay, more American, which leader? Tony Blair or Barack Obama? And Tony Blair killed Barack Obama in that poll, all right? There's a lot of subterranean stuff going on. And the reason why one in five Republicans have authoritarian instincts. And if you think that that is unusual, if you think that that has no historical precedent, let me tell you something. During the Revolutionary War, George Washington is fighting for his life. I still to this day don't know how he fed and paid his troops. To this day, I can't really understand how he kept their morale up. There were a lot of people in the colonies who didn't support the war, who thought, you know, Britain has a lot of money. We're all basically British. Okay, we don't like the Stamp Act and a few things. We can, and tea, I mean, we can deal with that. If there had been a plebiscite, if there had been an overall poll, a referendum, I'm not sure in the middle of a Revolutionary War if a majority of the population would have supported the war. Maybe it would have, but not by a lot. In the Civil War, it wasn't clear that Abraham Lincoln was going to get reelected in 1864. He was afraid he might not be. I'll tell you what. He lost the electoral votes in New Jersey. in New Jersey in 1864, and maybe a majority of the country, certainly a lot of them, thought, let's stop this business. Let the South keep their slaves. Just, you know, you don't let any more new slaves come in, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what, it takes great leadership. Franklin Roosevelt couldn't get the will of this country to fight the Second World War until Pearl Harbor occurred. So it does not surprise me that one in five Republicans, call up five of your Republican friends, see if one of them supports Putin. I doubt it. I hope not your friends, but Putin is a murderer. He's a thief. He is an enemy of the United States. The Russian people are not enemies of the United States. They're good people. I've been to Russia. I like the Russian people very much. Putin is a murderer. He's a thief and an enemy of the United States. The problem we have is that there's a significant number of people, it's still a small minority, who are authoritarian in nature and don't welcome democracy. And it takes people with courage, and it takes people like the presidents we've had, except for Trump and others, to stand up for democracy. And that's what we're doing, and we do on the station, and all of you do. Do not take it for granted that everybody has the same basic instincts you do. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.